All right, good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Ryan Harris is a 9-year NFL veteran, Notre Dame football radio color analyst, author of The Mindset for Mastery. He is a Super Bowl champion on social media at RyanHarris_68 and making some time right now for us. Mr. Harris, good morning. I hope you had a good holiday weekend.
Bill, it was a great celebration of America's birthday. I hope you got to see some candles go off in the sky.
Love it, dude. Love it, love it. So I'm going to ask you a super random question. We were just talking about, this is going to sound disrespectful to these sports, but we were just talking about sort of niche sports, whether it's Formula One racing or tennis, which I watch and I'm watching right now, or I don't know if hockey is, I'm not into hockey, or lacrosse. Do you have like a guilty pleasure random sport that you would push on somebody if they're looking for some a new way to fill their time?
Baseball. I'm a huge fan of baseball, Bill. It's one of America's greatest games. It's one of America's greatest pastimes. You got Shohei Ohtani here, arguably the greatest baseball player ever. So I'd say baseball. And I know I'm a minority in that department there, Bill. I know few people would do that, but I do love the game and going to the ballpark.
Dude, I'm with you on Shohei. He is so, so good. This news from the Steelers, your former team, one of your former teams, broke several days ago. But I'm just curious your view on Omar Khan, the GM. He has been extended. Is there any do we take away anything from this news about the Steelers' plans, about a lack of maybe hot seat if things don't go well? What was your reaction to the Steelers extending their general manager?
Well, the Steelers are the most consistent team in the NFL. I think they've had three head coaches the last 30 years. And it's one of the programs that from top down they're going to be consistent. And you can say what you want about the fact that they didn't, you know, haven't had success in the playoffs the last couple of years after losing a Hall of Famer, but they have talent on that team and talent enough that everybody's missing what Mike Tomlin is doing. He is going to win a Super Bowl. That's his goal this year. And I can tell you from being in meeting rooms with him as a player for him and the Steelers, Bill, that he says we have one goal. And every move they've made this offseason is pointing to winning that seventh Super Bowl, that stairway to seven that Steeler fans have been waiting for quite some time.
So I love – all right, so do you feel some opt – because I think for a lot of us, even winning a playoff game would be a step in a really good direction, especially how brutal the AFC is. I mean, and you know this, Ryan, that is a murderer's row of a division, of a conference. Do you have confidence that they can win multiple playoff games this year?
I do. And if you look the last two seasons, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers were a quarterback away from making a run in the playoffs. Not just going and being happy to be there, but making a run. And the tough one last year for the Steelers was losing that game against the Bengals at home. I mean, that's something where you had a shot in the fourth quarter, couldn't get it done, and that really affected the rest of their season. So they've been one or two wins away without a quarterback each of the last two seasons. That's not going to be an issue this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if they get somebody else before the season starts.
Yeah, they've been pretty aggressive. And that's one thing about Khan. You're right. It's been – they're the most consistent organization maybe in American professional sports, not just the NFL. They don't panic. Yeah, and continuity is not sexy, right, on sports talk radio, but it's really, really important. I mean, it's really important. And yet Khan's been pretty bold. I mean, he tried Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. He got Jalen Ramsey in that sort of not crazy, but interesting trade. Smith has come in as a tight end. Who am I forgetting? DK Metcalf's there. Can you give us any insight into his philosophy and his approach and what you think the Steelers look like from a team-building perspective? Let's just say if it doesn't work this year and there's a post-Aaron Rodgers plan they have to try to navigate for a quarterback.
Well, they're already in the post-Aaron Rodgers plan. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been clear this is probably his last year, and anytime you say probably – you know, I mean, how hard are you working, Bill, on your 10th year of $35 to $45 million, right? So you've already got all the golf courses in. You're now looking at private islands. So the Steelers know that. But one of the things I loved about playing for Mike Tomlin, he has an incredible way of focusing on one season at a time. And as a player in a locker room, you don't want to hear your coach talking about next season or how we're building the program. You want your coach talking about how we're winning a Super Bowl. You put Aaron Rodgers in that room. You put Jalen Ramsey in the room, who people forget he is a leader with a capital L. That's going to change that defense tremendously. And what that means, Bill, is that changes how they listen in meetings. That changes how they hold each other accountable, as Jalen Ramsey's won a Super Bowl and understands how you have to be accountable to win. And really, it's taking a lot of pressure off the coaches. And that's the best place you want to be as a player in on a team that has veteran leadership with veteran talent, with a coach that knows how to win the big games.
All right, Ryan Harris. So let's take your belief that the Steelers are going to be good enough to be one of the teams that can get through the AFC, that can compete for a Super Bowl, that can, if things break the right way, if they're healthy, are able to get to a Super Bowl. How many other teams in the AFC, as best you can quantify it today, do you think are good enough to make a Super Bowl out of the AFC?
Oof. I mean, the Broncos defense is going to be there. Of course, Patrick Mahomes has played in, I think, the last four Super Bowls, is it, Bill? So you're gonna
It's
have him there.
crazy.
You gotta
Crazy.
look out for the Bengals, though. I think the Bengals, now they gotta have some contract issues as well after the season. I think everybody at the Bengals knows this is the year the gig is up, and they've got the talent to do it. Joe Burrow doesn't care who he plays where. That's a dangerous team as well. But I gotta tell you, Bill, at the end of the day, to me, the team that has to win no matter what is the Baltimore Ravens. How many times are we going to see 1,000 yards rushing, 4,000 yards passing? And it's amazing that Lamar Jackson has made us expect that, right? I mean, that's what we expect from him, but he's got no rings. And that has to change for the Baltimore Ravens. So I think the Ravens have the most pressure, but you got about four or five teams that can win a Super Bowl in the AFC this year.
I mean, it's brutal. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, right? To our listeners in Rochester, that's a really good team. You bring up this Joe Burrow thing, and I wanted to ask you this. So, because we just got through with NBA free agency and players force their way out, and it's very common. You don't really see that the same way in the NFL. Let's just say that the Bengals don't have success. Is there a, this year? Is there a world where you think Joe Burrow would ever just say to Cincinnati, I don't want to be here. You don't spend the same amount of money. We get off to these poor starts. Or do you think he's likely a Bengal for the rest of his career?
Well, he's a Bengal for at least the next 3 years, right? I mean, he just re-signed that deal in 2023. But I think Joe Burrow loves being there in Cincinnati. And also, he's got a great team around him. He's got leadership on the defense. But also, you got Ja'Marr Chase. And I don't know what quarterback that's going to sign up to leave Ja'Marr Chase. I'm gonna be honest with you, Bill. I think you eat even up to $5 million if you can throw it to him, because you can get it back in bonuses, right, for touchdowns. So the Bengals are the most dangerous team to me in the AFC. I think we expect the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens to be at the top. But there's going to be space. There's going to be space there. And at the end of the day, in the playoffs, the best part and why we watch is because anything can happen. The Commanders say hello from last season, right, Bill? I mean, you can get in there and win, but the team that is going to go to the Super Bowl for the AFC, they're planning on being there right now, even though it's only July.
Ryan Harris, the NFC North saw its best team lose both of its coordinators, its second best team lose its quarterback. The Packers are still kind of what they were, and the Bears obviously went and got one of those coordinators, have a new head coach. Caleb Williams trying to sort of get to that level we expected. How good can Chicago be in that division, and who's your favorite there? And what I think will be a really fascinating NFC North.
My favorite is actually going to be the Green Bay Packers, and I think that had the Lions Packers game, I think it was week 16 or 17 last year, Bill. Remember when Jared Goff fell on the ground, had his knee down, they didn't call him down, they still got the first down. I think they could have won that game. And the reports earlier is the Golden, the receiver out of Texas, is in perfect timing already with Jordan Love. But after them, I got the Minnesota Vikings. They still have Aaron Jones. They've got a good run game. They've got Justin Jefferson, who is the fastest receiver since Randy Moss for the Vikings. There's a lot of continuity and familiarity. And with J.J. McCarthy getting in there after a year of hearing the playbook, hearing the formations, and understanding the schedule, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And we've been through this before, Bill, and I'm sorry to do it to you again. Get your RC Cola, but I just don't think the Bears are going to compete.
My
I'd be happy
team.
to be wrong. But you can just go through the list of coaches that didn't work for Caleb Williams, right? I mean, even Lincoln Riley, did that really work at USC? No, no national championship. Yes, he's got a Heisman Trophy, but I mean, which one would you rather have? He just has not been able to win and at the highest level in the biggest moments. And hopefully, Caleb Williams has been working hard, but we have seen no evidence.
Ryan Harris, college football's seen some pretty revolutionary changes the last several years. I mean, hell, not just college football, all of college sports. And we're now officially in this era for a limited amount of money in $20 million range where programs can directly pay athletes. And this doesn't negate the ability to go out and raise other money in NIL and all the other ways that income can be generated. But the University of Notre Dame, the University of Iowa, the University of Alabama, all of these schools can pay their student athletes directly. They have to choose how much and which programs get funded. Is this good for the game? Is this good for college athletics? Is this bad for college athletics?
This is great for college athletics, and this is the way it should have been from the beginning, right? I mean, Notre Dame's going to host Texas A&M, and they're probably going to make around $90 million between the ticket sales, the jersey sales, the t-shirt for the game sales. I mean, I luckily I'm in the booth where the food is free, Bill, but I can guarantee you a beer at the stadium is not going to be less than $5, right? So these schools are making billions of dollars, and sometimes in multiple sports. And all of a sudden, oh, well, we don't know how to, we can't pay the players. You know, we've got too many programs. No, you don't. I mean, the University of Colorado had 18 associate administrators making a six-figure salary. What are they doing? How is that money going there? So this is what should have happened. Schools need to pay the price as well, because they benefit directly, and direct beneficiaries need to pay out as they do in the NFL.
Right, at a place like Notre Dame, I imagine most of the money, right, that you're allowed to allocate will go to the football programs. Do you think if I'm trying to think of a if you're North Carolina or you're Kansas or you're who else, Kentucky, you have a basketball program, do you think you're going to have some difficult politics for athletic departments trying to figure out how to fund the football school versus basketball coaches who look around and say, "To hell with that. I want that cash."
Well, that's assuming that basketball hasn't been taking money and paying players, right? I mean, let's be clear here, Bill. I mean, there's been money going around for a long time. This is just making it clear. And yes, some schools are going to make decisions, and I'm happy to say, I think you're going to see a lot of schools make investments in women's sports as well. So it's really going to be a great opportunity for schools to identify what their culture of sport is. At Notre Dame, you're going to play against the best and expect to beat the best. And you're also going to go against the best in the classroom. And if you want a team that's on in basketball that's all paid the most you can, you got five guys or four guys making $5 million. How much are they
Right.
being teammates, right? Is that the kind of culture of sport you want? So every athletic department has to decide what their future looks like, and the values that they have, just like any organization in business. And then they have to go and execute and be consistent despite opportunities or failures along the way.
All right, last one for you. I know you're not a recruiting expert, but Larry Fitzgerald's son is going to be a Notre Dame player. How good is this dude? Does this matter? Is this significant?
It is significant, and it's one of four players who are coming to Notre Dame, not going to their in the 2026 class, not going to their father's alma mater, who played in the NFL. And one of the things I love, Larry Fitzgerald, he's been a mentor to me, Bill, since I was coming up, because we're both from Minnesota. He once pulled me out of a pile of fight when we were playing the Cardinals, saying, "That's not how Minnesotans act." So what you're getting with a caliber man like that, who, let me remind you, had more tackles than drop passes. His son is going to know the nuances of the game. His son, he's going to be able to talk to his son. All of these former players are going to be able to talk to their sons in that second week of training camp when no one's around, your knees hurt, your shoulders hurt, your forehead's throbbing. They're going to teach them how to get through it. But I'll tell you, of all the former NFL stars whose players are coming to Notre Dame, Bill, I'm most excited about Thomas Davis Jr. because I played his son, or I played his dad, Thomas Davis, in Super Bowl 50, Peyton's last game, and he hit me so hard. It was one of the top three hits I've ever had in my life, and he had a broken arm, Bill. So physicality, intelligence,
Oh
and
my
willingness
God.
coming to South Bend in spades.
All right, Ryan, I know we've had this talk, but remind me where you're from in Minnesota because I'm from Dubuque, Iowa. So I'm from a little east of there.
I'm from the capital city of St. Paul, where the rivers and railroads converge along the Mississippi.
Are you a Twin Cities guy or is it like to hell with Minneapolis? I'm St. Paul. Do you buy into this idea of two cities or is it St. Paul over Minneapolis?
Well, there wasn't always a bridge to Minneapolis, Bill. We've had our issues with Minneapolis, but look, and then you got, they trade, and look what happens in Minneapolis. You trade away Kevin Garnett. He goes and wins a world championship in the NBA. You trade away David Ortiz, Big Poppy. I mean, how much heartbreak can a kid have, especially after the North Stars fled in the middle of the night, like the cowardice organization they are? I mean, Bill, there was a lot of heartbreak, and Denver here has been good. So I got kind of an AFC, NFC thing in the NFL. I got a National League, American League thing when it comes to baseball, and I'm all Nuggets. So I got to say, they broke my heart when they let go Kevin Garnett, Latrell Sprewell, Bill.
I love the Midwestern love. Ryan Harris, it's great to catch up with you in the middle of the summer, pal. Enjoy your downtime, and looking forward to talking to you when the season gets rolling.
Have fun, Bill. Get your rest. Football's going to be awesome this year. Peace.
All right, brother. Be good. Peace to you too. Ryan Harris on the show. Ryan Harris underscore 68 on the old social media app. A little Iowa Minnesota talk for you. Nico, have you ever been to Minnesota or Iowa?
Nope.
Either of them.
Neither.
Wow. You know what? Which one, if you could choose one, if you were forced to go on vacation to one state, which one would you go to?
I'd probably say Minnesota. I think there's more. I think there's more there.
Incorrect. Incorrect. Incorrect answer. All right, let's do a little buy or sell, including a question about an event that you probably love and that I hate. So I'll grumpy old man this thing next here on Rider Than You. All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Nico Scarlato's here on the show. Nico, are you Nico filling in for Ryan Hickey as the producer today. Are you a hot dog eating competition guy?
I don't mind watching it. I do understand when people say that it's gross and disgusting. Like, I'm willing to see their side of it, but
it is gross and disgusting.
I watched it on Friday. I won't lie to you.
You did. You actually watched it.
I did. Live? I watched it live.
Did Joey Chestnut win? He won, right? I think I saw this.
He did. Yes, we actually have a couple of questions about this in buy or sell. So
we do. All right. Oh, boy. All right, let me gird myself for this. It is time for a relatively gross edition of Buy or Sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Rider Than You.
All right, we'll start things off in the National Basketball Association. The Kevin Durant deal got some more details over the weekend. It turned out to be a 7-team trade between the Suns, Rockets, Nets, Warriors, Hawks, Lakers, and Timberwolves. It was the first 7-team deal in NBA history. Buy or sell that these are way too complicated and should not be a thing.
All right, so I'll admit that they're complicated. I will concede that they're obnoxious. And I will certainly allow that I have no idea how to follow this. But I will sell they should not be allowed.
Sell.
As it was explained to me by NBA people who are smarter than me, which is all NBA people, but NBA people who also understand this. The new CBA, or the CBA that is now coming into effect with the various aprons and the increasingly punitive penalties if you're in the second for a certain amount of time, apparently mean that you need some of these deals so everyone can facilitate what they need to get where they need to get. But you're right. I tried to follow it. It's very confusing.
My brain started hurting when I was looking at it for more than 30 seconds. I couldn't figure it out.
It's a quarter of the league was involved in this trade.
Right. It's just like, how do the GMs even go about that? Like, they obviously all like weren't in the same place. So what was it, like a 7-man Zoom call trying to figure it out?
So every one of these teams has a, for lack of a better term, a numbers geek who works on their cap. I bet they told their cap people, figure out, this could work, figure. One team probably said, okay, I think we can involve multiple teams to make A, B, and C happen, and then had their cap specialist work it out. It's extraordinarily confusing.
And then, like, the Brooklyn Nets, for example, they got 2 second-rounders. That's it. Like, why did they even need to be involved? Who called the Nets and been like, hey, you really want 2 seconds? Come join this party.
I think it's because they could facilitate some of the space. Here's the thing. It almost shouldn't be reported as a trade. It should almost be like this transaction took place for the cap. Because the Durant trade was happening regardless. It's not as if the Nets had pulled out, it's not as if the trade was going to collapse.
Another trade we saw was Jonas Valanciunas headed to the Denver Nuggets, where he will play alongside Nikola Jokic. But he's also interested in going back to Greece to play overseas. Buy or sell that NBA players should not be allowed to just leave to play internationally when they have an NBA contract.
I mean, I'll sell that too. Here's the thing, like,
sell.
It's not indentured servitude, right? If you want to retire, it's a contract to play in America, so you just have to factor in some of the risk. I mean, how would you enforce that? Sorry, bro, you're not allowed to leave the country.
Pretty ironic with what's going on today, too.
Police are guarding. He goes on bathroom breaks, and he has like a cop has to escort him. He has to make a run for the airport.
Yeah, right.
I get it. If you want to go home or you want to do something, I completely get it.
Over to Major League Baseball, Tarek Skubal continues to dominate on the mound.
My God.
The reigning AL Cy Young Award winner is top three in ERA, strikeouts, WHIP, and wins. Buy or sell that he is the best pitcher we've seen in the last decade.
So I was actually thinking about this. Is it possible that he's one of the best pitchers of all time? I'll buy.
Buy.
And he's doing it for terrible strong. He's doing it for a baseball team that's never going to accomplish anything. They're not going to accomplish anything. Who's been better than him? I mean, I think this is Kershaw level when Kershaw was at the height of his powers. But that was in the last 10 years. Kind of the back end of that.
Yeah, when I was thinking about who else it could be, I was thinking Jacob DeGrom, Scherzer,
yeah.
Verlander, Kershaw, yeah.
I mean, Verlander's amazing. He's been amazing, but I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember him being this dominant. What's crazy is his record. He's 4-7. What the hell, guys? Get him some run support.
Well, going off of that, buy or sell that the Pirates need to trade Paul Skeens.
I mean, I'm not sure how to answer this because small markets can decide they're going to spend money and compete, see the Padres, but this team won't do it. What are they going to trade for? You're not going to get another Paul Skeens.
I mean, it hasn't worked out in terms of wins, but I think the Nationals got a pretty good return for Juan Soto. I mean, Mackenzie Gore and James Wood have been good pieces. But again, to your point, it's not like they've gotten better. They're not competing for a playoff spot. They just fired their GM and manager, so clearly it's not working out over there.
The Nationals also have ambition. I mean, it's been a minute, but they've won a World Series. They've showcased they're willing to spend money. The problem with the Pirates is that organization just puts out a terrible product, prints money, and doesn't care about winning. Skeens is almost an accident, right? I mean, the GM isn't going to try to lose, so he's going to do the best he can. So there's no good answer. I'll buy they should trade him because it'd be nice to see him somewhere else. To me, this story and this pitcher and this player just illustrates what's wrong with baseball. And it's improved, but you can't have organizations that are allowed not to win. You have to have some system that creates a requirement for teams to try to win at some point. Because if you trade him away for a bunch of prospects and guys, and some of them or many of them work out, you're going to have a couple-year window where they're pretty good, and then they're going to go somewhere else and make money somewhere else.
I think I know your answer to this. Buy or sell that there needs to be a salary floor.
Buy, 100%.
Buy.
I know that some people don't love what the NBA's done with their CBA, and I think that's stupid. I think it's going to work out. But one of the things, the minimum spending threshold. Yeah, I. The problem is that's never going to happen. But I think it's a great idea. By the way, have you been?
Yeah, I have.
See, great ballpark. That could be one of the best ballparks in America. You don't even have to win 100 games. Just if you every year could compete to win 80 games, like just be in the 500 range. You're close to 82 games every, and I don't mean one year here or there. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember the Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke years. It's just a travesty for that market and for those fans.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard a single person that's been to PNC Park say that it's not a gorgeous stadium.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
We've got the All-Star festivities next week down in Atlanta, and the Home Run Derby will take place on Monday. We've heard Cal Raleigh, Ronald Acuna Jr., and James Wood all announce that they will participate this year. Buy or sell that the Home Run Derby is the best All-Star event in all of sports. I know the biggest competitor is the slam dunk contest.
Yeah, I took my wife and kids to this a few years ago, and I was complaining about it, and they chastised me for my hard-headedness, that I become callous to its magic. I'm trying to think. The slam dunk contest is so stupid. There is no... I'll buy. But it's sort of...
Buy!
Is there anything in hockey? They got rid of the All-Star game, right? Isn't it now a... international competition?
Yeah, they used to do the skills competition the night before the All-Star game, which was kind of eh. And then now, yeah, this year they're not even doing an All-Star game in 2026.
I think the three-point shooting contest can be interesting. Buy or sell, you will actually watch the Home Run Derby live.
Buy!
I mean, I will out of obligation to this job, but I don't know what I would if I didn't have that obligation.
Over to the NFL, the top 100 players has been underway in terms of releasing the players. They do it in increments of 10. So all we've seen so far is players 100 through 91, Ladd McConkey, Leonard Williams, Aaron Jones, Drake London, Levante David, Josh Sweat, Sam Laporta, Creed Humphrey, Jesse Bates, and Tua Tagovailoa are the players that have been named so far, 100 through 91. Buy or sell that this is such a stupid list because you can't even compare the players when they play different positions.
Buy.
I mean, it'll create some content when we get down to 1 through 10 and they don't put Mahomes 1. Buy or sell, Mahomes will be in their top 3.
Sell.
Yeah, I'm with you. And he should be. He's the best player in football.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's weird to think, like, how do you compare Tua Tagovailoa to Leonard Williams? They're two completely different players.
I mean, look, I kind of understand it, I guess, if you just had a redraft of every player in the NFL, then in theory you'd have to make a decision, right? You have, okay, who do I take? I mean, you're taking a quarterback with your first pick almost every single time, at least to the first 10. How many picks would it take before someone didn't take a quarterback if you redrafted the whole NFL? 10? 11? 12?
Yeah, probably.
So I understand you can make distinctions, but I'm with you. I also find the list stupid because every year they do stupid things on these lists.
Yeah, quarterback is clearly the most valuable position. No argument there. Another guy that's pretty valuable in this league, TJ Watt. He's been in the conversation about a possible trade or an extension over this contract dispute. One of the teams that's been rumored is the Washington Commanders. Buy or sell, Bill, that they would become the NFC favorite if they landed the pass rusher.
Wow. So the NFC North feels like there's the chance for it to be a little bit down. I'm not even sure how up it was last year after an underwhelming playoff showing. But I just don't know how good Detroit's going to be. I'm just going through it. The Eagles are really good, but it's hard to repeat. Jaden Daniels, that year of experience under his belt and that incredible run last year. What the hell? I'll buy it.
Buy!
By the way, I wouldn't trade TJ Watt. I would just make him play. I would 100% make him hold out, then hold out. You're under contract.
Buy or sell that you think there's a chance that Jaden Daniels could have a little bit of a sophomore slump?
I mean, buy, because we saw CJ Stroud, right? Everybody said it wasn't going to happen in Houston with Houston's quarterback, and then Stroud came out, and he wasn't bad, but he wasn't as electric. There's all this tape. You can also, success can breed a little bit of complacency. And on the other side of that, every defensive coordinator that has him on the schedule is already looking at tape of this guy. Right now, today, as we're speaking, defensive coordinators are looking at tape, coming up with plans. So I think it's inevitable. I guess the question is, to what degree?
The moment you've been waiting for, Nathan's hot dog eating contest was on Friday.
Gross.
Originally, I was going to ask if you enjoyed watching it, but I already know your answer to that. So I'll change it to Joey Chestnut being the main point. He ate 70 and a half hot dogs on Friday. That's the record, though. He once ate 76 a few years ago. Buy or sell that you think that this is a pretty awesome talent, whether you think the hot dog eating contest is gross or not.
Sell. I don't.
Sell.
No. I could cite other supposed talents to make my point, but it's so gross and I won't. I just no. Some talents shouldn't be celebrated. I find it and don't they wash it? I don't want to talk about it with water or something. Like, isn't it like there's just like nonstop water?
Yeah, they're dipping the buns in water so it goes down easier.
Oh.
All right. Well, so since he ate 70 and a half. That means he was, because it's a 10-minute competition, he averaged 7 hot dogs per minute. Do you think, buy or sell, that you could eat 7 hot dogs in 10 minutes?
Let me ask you a question first before I answer. 10 years ago, Andy Roddick and I had a $500 bet that I still haven't done, that he brings up sometimes. It was $500 that I could consume the following things in a baseball game. So I couldn't start till first pitch, and I had to last out. So my plan was to find a pitcher who's really deliberate and slow. Okay, 5 beers, 3 hot dogs, a churro, a pretzel, 2 orders of nachos, french fries, cotton candy. Man, back then I thought I could do it. I'm not sure today.
Sell.
No way.
No chance. You started off where it was like, oh, the 5 beers, 3 hot dogs, a pretzel. I was like, all right, that's not bad. And then you just kept going with the nachos, the fries, the cotton candy. I was like, yeah, there's no way it's all going down.
I'd have to do a beer an inning, basically, a hot dog every other inning, and then throw in a churro, a pretzel, 2 nachos. Andy had me dead to rights. That was pure arrogance. So I will sell that I could eat 7 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Oh,
that
sell.
Sounds disgusting. By the way, I like hot dogs. I just want to take it slow. I want to have a Budweiser in my hand. I want a bunch of relish and a bunch of mustard on there. Maybe some onions and tomatoes if I'm in Chicago and a pickle. I don't want to rush through 7 of them.
Yeah, then you don't even get to enjoy it.
Disgusting, dude. Buy or sell Joey Chestnut is rich.
Buy.
That's crazy.
I'm thinking, like, that's, he's got to have enough endorsements where he's making a good amount by now, right?
You think that's what he does for a living?
I mean, there's no way he has another. He has to train, so that he can't be, like, working a separate. He's not like an accountant, you know, scarfing down hot dogs.
You think he's training?
He's got to train his stomach, right? There's no way he could just naturally do that.
Hey, this is Joey Chestnut calling from Home Depot. Would you like some floor laminate? No, you're probably right. Oh, it's disgusting. All right, what a great talk. All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on Ryder Than You on the Infinity Sports Network. Just watching the craziest point I've ever, not ever seen, but a huge rally between Djokovic and this other random guy who Andrew Bogus could pronounce his name, but I won't try. Demonure. I think that's wrong. We have a great and wonderful life update. So here on the show, I'm not afraid to offer life advice to people who don't want it. Ask all of my previous producers. And Nikos Karlatos is filling in for Ryan Hickey, who's off doing whatever Ryan does on his time off. And last time Nico was on the show, which I think was several months ago, I found out that he had never taken the subway. He wasn't a subway guy. He was going into Penn Station, and then you were taking an Uber from Penn Station to...
Yeah, so I was very scared of the subway, so I was always Ubering from Penn Station all the way down to our offices.
You were scared of the subway?
Yeah.
And I told you that was crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, hey, man, it's going to be okay. The fear-mongering on New York City is so crazy to me. Hey, those of you listening, if you think New York City is a hellhole that's on fire, it's not. It's actually very safe and amazing and wonderful. That's just not true. When did you begin the train journey, and how is it – the subway journey, excuse me, and how has it gone?
So I think it was, I guess, when the last time we worked together, maybe like 2 months ago now, and it's been good. It's been good. It's much quicker, much cheaper. I haven't had any issues. I'm actually even learning, too, apparently there's like ways where you can like get on the train, and then like if it's taking too long, you can get off and get on like a different one that's an express. So I'm like trying to like learn
the express,
like, the quicker ways to get around and stuff like that. I've even now taken the subways to other places besides work when I'm in the city, which I never would have done before. So we're expanding here.
So did you get on the subway shortly after the last time we worked together? Did I shame you into that?
It was actually the last time we worked together that day. I took the subway back to Penn Station from here.
You did that day?
That day.
Because I think you told – did you text me? I can't remember.
Yeah, but I think you actually texted me asking how it went, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was good.
Dude, it's what? It's $2.70 or something. It takes 10 minutes. It's so especially for you, to Penn. It's so quick and so fast.
Yeah, I'm mind blown that I was taking Ubers for that long before this.
You were setting your money on fire.
Yep, literally.
Honestly, I think the train is safer than an Uber because the train is totally safe, and an Uber, at least you can get in a car accident.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. I guess that's a good point.
All right, I'm really proud of you, Nico. That's a big moment for you. By the way, I did the same thing. Before I lived in New York from 2017-19, I used to go to New York all the time. And I was intimidated by the train, and I didn't want to take it, even though I'd lived in London as a student or whatever. And I was in Harlem meeting an NBA person, and we got done, and they walked me to the train, whatever. Maybe it was the one. I don't think it was. Whatever. And they go, there's the train. I go, I don't know how to use the train. And the judgment. And I took an Uber. And then the first time I took a train, it was life-changing. New York City is not on fire. You won't be killed. It'll be great. New York City is amazing. And now you're exploring the city a little bit, getting out there?
Yeah, I went to see one of my buddies works up like by Grand Central. So after work, I went to go say hi to him, and I took like I was on the one train, and then I was across on the 7, and I was like making transfers, and I was like, "Wow, who would have thought that I was doing this?"
You are getting it done. You're a world traveler. Maybe we'll talk about this in a little bit next week. I kind of have mixed feelings about whether or not Clayton Kershaw should be an All-Star this year. Do you have a strong view? So Kershaw is a Legends pick, which means the commissioner gets to basically decide you're just on the team. He's not having a bad year. He's 4-0. He's got a 3.43 or 3.44 earned run average. He's been fine. He's been fine. There are some snubs though that could have, you know, Juan Soto could have been. Might have been happy to have been an All-Star. But he is he actually is a legend. Kershaw is legendary. He is at the end of his career. I guess it's so. And the All-Star game is sort of stupid anyway. So I don't know why there's going to be 70 All-Stars too. So I guess it's fine. Is that the right take? I guess it's fine.
I've always thought that there's going to be someone complaining about who got snubbed and the rosters and this and that, no matter what. So I try not to get too much into it. Like Julio Rodriguez, for example, has a 6.97 OPS. Why is he an All-Star? Like who picked that? So I'm going to end up getting annoyed about it. So I just try to say, whatever, it's no big deal. It's just the All-Star game.
I mean, I guess the other thing is that like it is a fan event and there's a component that is just it is entertainment as much as anything else. Have you seen Shohei Ohtani play live? Have you ever seen Ohtani play live?
Yes. So I was actually at Game 4 of the NLCS last year, Mets Dodgers, and Ohtani hit a leadoff home run, second pitch of the game.
I've seen him a couple times, and I've taken my son Henry to see him, and he's the only player in baseball. Now I have not seen Judge live in a long time, not since he became the guy that he is now. So maybe he qualifies as well. Ohtani's the only player that I can think of in a very long time where when he walks up to the batter's box, before he does anything, it's electric in the ballpark. And I'm in L.A. I've got a lot of time on my hands. Thank you, CBS. And so I'm trying to decide if I should just start. I haven't told my wife about this yet. I was thinking about maybe just trying to go to all of his games that he starts. Just put it on the schedule, which obviously won't be that often because there'll be away games too. But I don't know. Is it weird to be a Shohei Ohtani groupie if you're a non-Dodgers fan? I'm kind of thinking about it.
No, I think I would. I think it's awesome. If I didn't hate the Yankees as much as I did, I would be at Yankee Stadium all the time watching Aaron Judge play. But
I have never been to Yankee Stadium.
Really?
I've actually never been to a Mets or a Yankees game, which is dumb because I lived in New York. I worked all the time. All right, I'm a neutral. I like the Mets in theory because they're kind of lovable losers like my Cubs, and I don't like the Yankees in theory because I find Yankees fans to be obnoxious, but I don't really hate them. I don't. I just want good baseball. I know you're a Mets fan, but if I were going to come to New York, coming out at some point, and I were going to go to one ballpark, which is the better experience, if you can put aside your Mets fandom?
I am not being biased with this. I truly think it's Citi Field. I think it's more family-friendly. There's more to do. The outside part of Yankee Stadium is cool, where they have like all like those bars and shops underneath the train tracks. But once you go into the stadium, it's very like corporate and bland. Citi Field is where the fun is at.
And Citi Field's also on the train. I'm just taking, what, is it the 7?
Yeah, it's the 7 train, and you're right there.
Did you take the 7 train before you started taking trains, or were you afraid of that too?
I did take the 7 train, but it's technically not underground once you're like not in Manhattan. So like if you take the Long Island Railroad to Queens and you transfer at Woodside, you go like upstairs to the 7 train.
You were afraid of the underground. The underground scared
you.
Right.
That's what it was.
Because of the supposed criminal element, or you're just under the earth? Like what was
the rats, the criminal element. It was just
there's no
weird.
Criminal element. It's I mean, you'll get an occasional crazy person, like, give me money, and you're just like, no thanks. Like, okay. Right? It's
there's really not anything to worry about.
Stuart Kovacs does that in the office sometimes, asks for money. It's just like with Stu. He's like, no, Stu. You're on your own. All right, so you're with us the rest of the week.
Just Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, so Nico Scarlato's time will get... And you're taking the train home today. You're taking the train to Penn Station after the show.
That's right.
Later this afternoon. Proud of you, pal. It's amazing. All right, we'll talk some more baseball tomorrow. Thank you to Ryan Harris for being on the show. Thank you, Nico. Great work by him. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We'll see you here tomorrow on the Infinity Sports Network.